Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Father, in the name of Jesus, today, Lord, we're going to learn something about generous giving. We're going to learn about those people who have felt like they've been marginalized and somehow they've been left behind. We're going to learn about all the issues that happen in life that sometimes we feel like we just didn't get the right deal as far as things are concerned. But Lord, you're going to show us in generous giving from the standpoint that you're a generous giver in times we can't even anticipate it's going to happen. So Lord, your Holy Spirit is going to show us some powerful things today, and I pass by the power of the Holy Spirit just to do some things in me today that I could demonstrate to your people exactly what you're about to do. Thank you for all these things. We give all glory and honor and praise to you. In Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Generous giving is truly a matter of our heart becoming fully engaged with the spirit of Jesus and his display of love to the whole world. Now, I need to remind you of a couple things. The first thing is this, is a thought that last week we talked about a particular principle, and I hope you'll remember it. It says, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. I hope that is welded into the way you think. Because there's some way that God gives us an opportunity to demonstrate love by giving to folks. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, when we truly find a relationship with the Lord, we will have to default to our old way of living to suppress the desire to give to God and to other people. In other words, it'll be hard for you not to give. You say, I need to do something. I had an experience before I finished a little warm-up. There was some people I was here on Friday and the doorbell rang. And there were two people I did not recognize at all. And they said, well, we're here today. We want to give some money to Jesus. I said, huh? And the lady comes up, and she says, do you have an envelope? So I gave her an envelope. I do not recognize these people at all. I have never, as far as I've never seen them before. I don't know whether they're church list. I don't know. And so, and her husband says, well, give me an envelope too. I want to do that too. There was something about them, and I didn't quite get it, but I'm saying there's something about us. We are designed, if we're built right, to be able to give to God. Amen. And so it's an interesting piece. So God, the idea when we say to give to God and other people, God's the love that he gave is our inheritance and our reason for living. Two things we'll talk about today. First one is this. What is your response to kindness and giving that you feel you do not deserve? What's your response to that? How about this one? Are there people that you should be seeking out to give generously to as a result of their kindness to you? I need somebody to help me out today. Somebody got a $100 bill in your wallet? No. You got one? You got a $100 bill? Come help me out. No, I'm gonna give you some money for your $100 bill. It's all good. Where is it? It's in your truck? Somebody got something that's not in their truck? Somebody got a $100 bill here? Here's this okay. You're gonna love this. Just making change in the church. Lord. Oh, she beat you to it. Okay. Okay, you give me $100. There's 10. There's 20, there's 70, let's see here, there's 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 687. I'll see you later for the rest. What just happened to her? Short changed. My message today is going to be about the times when you are shortchanged. My whole story, she knows I'll probably give it back to her because her husband, but it's right now it's mine. Made me a deal. Let's make a deal. I want to take you to a place, and we'll get into the word in just a moment, and talk about a young man that was shortchanged, and we'll get into the word of God. If you go to 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, 2 Samuel. Jonathan had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. I want to spend some time today to do two things. One, to tell you the story of how David sought out to probably make right the situation of him being shortchanged. But I want to just spend some time with us today to deal with an issue that we don't like to talk about. Well, there are things in life that will cause us to feel like we've been shortchanged. I made a little list of them, and I put it down here. Financially, poverty, or sometimes you felt like you were always behind other folks. Maybe you feel shortchanged in intelligence. Everybody's smarter than you. And you just haven't been able to get over that particular hump that no matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you study, you just can't make the grade. What about this? Appearance. We know it's a statistical fact that people that have that certain look or a certain size or whatever it happens to be, they always get the advantages, and people flock to them and they get advantages that nobody else gets. How about this one? Ethnicity. You're born in a particular people group that doesn't get favor, rather gets disfavor because you were shortchanged and you were born into that particular group. You don't talk about it, but you live it. How about this? Some of you feel shortchanged because you were abandoned or you got into a marriage relationship you thought was going to last till death do us part, and they left in a short period of time. Why am I going to take this whole shortchange? I thought you were going to talk about generosity as far as it's concerned. I want to tell you, there are times in our life that we've been in all these different things, and we cannot pretend like it doesn't bother it, because it does. And as much as I know Ivy knows a more than likely give her the rest of her money. But for now, she's shortchanged. I don't care what you say, I got an advantage over her, and as much as she loves me and I know her husband loves me, I shortchanged her. And that feeling you carry with you day after day after day, and somehow God wants to show you something about his generosity from a perspective that perhaps you haven't looked at before. So let's dive into this whole thing. It's more than a feeling, it's a reality. Let's not pretend. There's some things like with Mephibosheth, the story was, you know, he's trying to flee and you know, the lady was taking care of him. And I don't know, he was 5 years old, so I doubt seriously she was carrying him and she dropped him. But something happened on their way trying to flee. And from that day on, the boy had a limp and his feet were numb and he was not able to function like everyone else. I want to speak to you now that for people that are in this room, that there was something that happened in the heart of David that after his life was going so well that he felt like, he says, you know, everything's going so well for me. He says, but I just need to reach out to someone beyond myself and I need to be generous. Store that in your mind. We'll come back to it. Well, our normal will never be the normal of others. The other piece of it is that we believe that we are a victim of choices that were forced upon us. And that being the case, when we have been victimized by circumstances beyond our control, our self-worth can be severely damaged. You say, is this a psychology lesson? No, it's just an idea of the reality of real feelings that people have. And we can rejoice and we can shout and we can believe God and do all those other type of things, but the whole generous, we can talk about the generosity of God. You say, yeah, God's generous, but in this area, I'm shortchanged. Everybody else enjoys it. I don't. There's some places I don't go, some places, things I won't do, because that really permeates my spirit and I just can't deal with it. Well, Mephibosheth was a child caught in the midst of an extenuating circumstance, and he found himself injured as a result of trying to preserve his own life, and he thought he was totally forgotten about. I want to just hone in on that. God is going to speak to you today to let you know you are always on his mind. He has never forgotten about you. Even though the pain seems to be real, but it doesn't mean that God says, well, yeah, I know he's in suffering. God has never forgotten about you. Wow. Somebody needed to hear that. So David desired to be generous to a relative, King Saul, who once wanted to take his life. Now, this story doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He says, is there anybody that I can bless in the household of Saul? Saul, if you knew the story of David, I'll give you a little snippet of it. Saul tried to kill David. Yes, he did. Little spearology, you know. He said, come sing to me. And all of a sudden, in the middle of it, he goes, here he goes, chucking spears at him. I'm thinking, you may get that one time from me, but I ain't never coming back to sing for you. No. You're not a safe person. But he finds himself in this situation. And then at the apex of his career, he's saying, but there's something in me that I need to be generous. I need to give to Saul, because he had a son named Jonathan that abandoned all of his rights to the throne, and he was my friend, and he saw me through the toughest of times I've ever experienced. God has not forgotten about you, and he's put people in your life. Regardless of all the things you felt shortchanged on, God has been generous to you and has helped you to make it this far, and he will lead you on further. Somebody say amen, because that's the truth. Well, the spirit of generosity seized his heart, and at this particular point, he was not embittered over Saul. His memory pointed him to Jonathan, Mephibosheth's father. That's interesting. Well, unpack this part of it. David realized that he had received a generous gift of life from Jonathan. So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 1 through 3. This will kind of paint the picture for you. David fled from Naoth of Ramah, and he went and said to Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? What is my sin before your father that he seeks my life? On the next verse. So Jonathan said to him, by no means you shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing, either great or small, without first telling me. Why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. Let me stop right there. This could have blown up the relationship. Jonathan said, what are you talking about, David? My dad's not out to kill you. You know, he wouldn't do anything without telling me what's going on. So you're kind of hallucinating. You just got, I don't know what your problem is. And that's what his thought is. But get to verse 3. He says, then David took an oath again and said, your father certainly knows that I found favor in your eyes. And he has said, do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. Whoa. There's a cutting edge of reality. He says, bro, I need to tell you, your dad wants me dead. One of two things, he has got a choice. Either he's going to be loyal or believe what David has told him, or he's going to go to his dad and say, you know, David is some kind of maniac. You need to take him out. I want to tell you that God does some things, has done some things, some amazing things to protect you. When no one would believe you, God has set you up for success. When the world was against you, he put someone to advocate for you. Somebody, you know what I'm talking about. That God had somebody standing in the gap. that generously bestowed upon you all the things you could not do for yourself. God has given you things, gifts that are irreplaceable. You have your life today because of God's generosity towards you. This story goes so deep. And it really is all about generous giving of that you'll get so overwhelmed, and I hope this will happen to you, that you'll become so overwhelmed and God will cause your memory to ignite again, and you'll say, you know what? I almost forgot about it, but this never should have happened. You know what? I need to allow that generous spirit to overtake me and do the same that was done for me for somebody else. Wow. So David had become the recipient of the loyal friendship of the son of Saul, and the gift of friendship he received overrode the loyalty that goes to family. I'm not here to divide family, but I'll tell you one thing. When God does something on this level, it's not a family consideration, it's a God consideration. We gather in this house weekly, and believe me, I have a wonderful family, and I have relatives here today. But there's something that happens when the corporate body of Christ gathers together that there's no edge for family necessarily. But the family of God just kind of washes over my mind, and there's something that bonds us together. And you know what that is? It's the Spirit of Jesus. It's the Spirit of Christ that comes over you, that comes over me, that we just want to be a part. We want to give. We want to really be a blessing to one another. Well, let's moving forward. So this generosity of relationship between two men was forever. Go down to 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 42. This is great. Kind of gives you some insight. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'May the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants.'" Read that word. Forever. Can I talk to you a moment about the limitations that we put on some things? Many of us are temporary, transitory, or until something, you know, that we don't particularly like. And some of you are sitting in this room today loving Jesus and mad at somebody. Oh, yes, you are. Just as mad as a wet hen. And hens, when they get wet, they are not pleasant to be around. Okay. But you're just as mad as, and you say, I just can't believe that she did that to me. You know, and I am never going to do that for her. Your healing is coming today. The gift of friendship he received overrode the family loyalty, and Jonathan was willing to risk his life for David, and he did. He really did. Well, how does that deal with generous giving in the sense that we're talking about? The generosity of relationship between these two was forever, and so the grace of generosity is something we'll experience on a whole new level. When we are committed to giving, we allow it to extend beyond our generation. I want you to remove the lines. So I'm only going to this far, and some of you, you're very compartmentalized. Oh, no, I'm not going to give to him. That's as far as I can go. Some of you reach your limit real quick. That's it. I'm cutting it off right here. Because you're afraid. Some of you are afraid to be generous. You're afraid to be generous. I don't know how they're going to act. That's not your responsibility. When God says give, you give. Because it ain't your stuff in the first place. Everything you got, it was given to you. You say, well, I worked hard for this. I said, but God gave you the strength to get up in the morning to go to the job, baby. Everything you got, God gave it to you. So you need to stop being so stingy. I know the proper word is stingy, but in my side of the tracks, we say stingy. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, Anthony. I know. Stingy folk. When we're committed to giving, we will allow it to extend beyond the generation. Generosity is a character trait that we should pass on to our descendants. I've seen some multimillionaires, actually, you know, Warren Buffett, he's obviously the guy's got, he's got bucks, he got money, he got some change. But he and Zuckerberg and a few others, these multi-billionaires, they have made a commitment. They're going to give away 90% of their wealth. We can get $9 out of some of you folks. Is there a discount? Pray for me. Pray for me. Just pray for me. That's all I can say. Your kids are getting just like you, stingy. I had a person tell me the other day, he says, you know, I'm just kind of tight with my money. And she's proud of it. I don't give nothing to nobody. Really? Okay. Yeah. The doctor will get plenty of it. Let me move on, because I got to meet a couple deadlines here in just a minute. God's generosity does not seem to be fair and equitable. Matthew chapter 20 verses, I'm going to give you a whole lot of words that we're going to read, but I'm going to break it down very quickly. Matthew chapter, it says, take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. All right, go on to verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Move on. That your charitable deeds be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. We'll stop right there. The explanation of this is that many times in our life, we just do things to be seen or that folks might notice us or that we might get some accolades of some sort. And that's a very poor way to exist, because I'll tell you what, disappointment is around the corner for you. Matter of fact, there's another little portion of scripture that I would pick up in this particular sense. It's in Matthew 21. It's a story about how the equity of God is so much different than ours. I'll read this for you real quickly. And he spoke another parable. He says, there was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and a set of hedge around it. And, that was the one. I'm sorry, I've missed my little place here. Yeah, I think that's the one. Anyway, well, no, I can summarize. Anyway, there was a man who had a vineyard, and basically, it talks about the idea of what's equitable. And what happens, he has a vineyard, and he says, okay, I want you to go out. He sees these people, first of all, they're hanging out. They don't have a job. And they go out, and he says, we'll go out in the vineyard, and whatever's right, I'll pay you. So some of them come early. They go out, and they start working. Everything works out fine. About an hour or so later, he goes to the marketplace and he sees some other guys hanging out there. And he says, what are you doing? He says, well, we don't have a job and no one will hire us. And so he says, well, go out in my vineyard and whatever's right, I'll pay you. I think this has happened several times. And at the end of the day, they're all coming in and they're going to get paid. And I like the way this story is set up, because the paymaster was set up in such a fashion that everybody could see what the other person was getting. And so the first person comes up there and he gets his paycheck and this type of thing. He's all happy. He goes away there. And he had worked from the very beginning. But then the second person comes up and he gets paid and he'd only worked 1 hour and he gets the same thing as the guy did who worked there all day long. There's trouble in River City. He is ticked. He is not happy. He said, what? And that's where some of you are at today. You have a measuring stick that God doesn't even recognize. There are people that are Johnny come lately to the party that God is blessing as much or more than you, and you are upset. You feel like you have been shortchanged. Oh, I'm working with you today. You're going to get saved whether you like it or not. Because that spirit that lives within us, and he says, what do you mean? This guy, he's only worked for 1 hour, and I've been here all day long in the heat of the day, and you're going to give me the same thing that he says. He said, hold on, homie. Did not I tell you in the beginning what you're going to get? Well, yeah. Is not this my vineyard? Yeah. Did you not have anything to have no job before you came here? And you want to complain because it was okay when I gave you a job, but now you're starting to change the engagement of the rules of engagement. You need to find another person to complain to. I ain't hearing what you're saying. I'm just as good as I was 4 hours ago when I hired you as I am when I hired this other guy 1 hour ago, and we're all getting the same thing. You need to be okay with that. Because we try to measure out God's generosity, and you just can't do it. Oh, there's healing. Bless his name. It's an honor and a privilege to be chosen by the Lord. Somebody believe that? All of us were chosen. You know, we didn't. I'm so glad I found the Lord. Jesus was not lost. His face was not on the milk carton, said, have you seen this person? Work with me, people. I found you. No, you didn't. He found you in your wretched, pitiful state, gave you an identity, gave you a reason to live, gave you hope, gave you peace, gave you joy. Don't be talking about you found him. He found you when you were messed up, broke up from the floor up, and God gave you perfect. Well, I'm going to get preaching here in a minute. Watch out. Getting revved up. Generosity of the Lord is often misunderstood because of the entitlement mentality of our culture. I have a few minutes to kind of explain that to you. In the world, we are taught to compare and compete in order to gain recognition and favor. Is that not true? That's not God's economy. His generosity overrides all of that stuff. Our work, regardless of what it is, should always be done unto the Lord. And when you do that, I promise you, you will never be disappointed. If the person on the next cubicle next to you makes 5 times as much as you do, if you're working unto the Lord, it will not bother you. Somebody's accepting the healing right now. I feel it just going out. Here we go. Our complaints against the Lord's generosity are often based upon what we believe our worth is in compared to others. Boy, it just keeps going in deeper, doesn't it? Wow. It's not how long you live, but how well.
I like that.
Some of you just here, you know, here on earth taking up space. And God's going to give you some time to do something before you leave. Some people have done it in 10 years what it will take you 50 to do. And you know what that 50, and I really mean that for a logical reason, because some of us, it will take us that long to catch up with the idea that God has never done anything to put you down or to destroy you. He's done everything to build you up. Would you consider this? It's God's grace in our lives that will sustain us and enable us to finish that which we have started to do for the Lord. While the feeling of being shortchanged will appear when we believe that we've been taken advantage of. I don't think, honestly, that Ivy feels like she was being taken advantage of. I think the relationship we have, she knows she's going to get her money. But it still doesn't erase the fact that for a moment, she's shortchanged. I'm not going to try to brush over the idea. I owe her something. But she can be okay with the fact that she believes that it's going to be taken care of. I want to get your belief system on the same page with God. That God is not going to leave you out there abused, shortchanged, and feeling hopeless. Well, we will forget that the Lord chose us when we had no purpose or direction. Well, discontent will come into our lives when we compare ourselves with others, obviously, and everything we have was given to us by the Lord. Well, God's generosity to others gives you that shortchanged feeling into the degree that we're just not able to get through that. Now, his generosity appears to be a statement maybe of your unworthiness, but here's the one part that I should say. But when Mephibosheth is before the king, he said something that really pierced my heart. He says, "Who am I that you would take note of this dead dog?" Let that marinate for a while. He says, I've never been able to walk. I've been dependent on other people. My self-esteem has been shattered for a long, long time. I'm not necessarily here to build your self-esteem. I'm here to build your trust and hope in God, that God has not forgotten about you. Well, let's finish up this thought with this. David wanted to show generosity to someone. Generosity flows from a heart of gratitude and grace. And when you are truly realize all that has been done for you that you did not deserve, you will open your heart and be able to give to others. How about this? It is more than, here's a word that we use in this culture, paying things forward. Don't you feel good? I'm going to pay it forward. How about paying it now? There are people right in front of you. I'm going to pay it for it. I mean, it sounds so wispy. Crunchy. Stupid. I know you love me, so it's all good. One more scripture and I'm done. We will invite people to the table of generosity to acknowledge the grace that we have received. Back in the 2 Samuel 9:13, last little scripture, Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. Why did they keep bringing up this lame proposition? Why do you keep doing that over and over again? To remind you that in spite of his malady, he was invited to the king's table. That means there's a place for you. There's a place for me. Because all of us are lame in some kind of way. So baby, get out your crutches. Let's make it to the table of the Lord. And let him work it out. Worship team, come back up here. I got to make a couple of statements and we're just about done. So Mephibosheth's handicap did not hinder him from receiving the blessing of generosity. David was intentional about wanting to bless Jonathan's family. But whatever we have experienced that appears to us as being shortchanged can be overcome with generous giving. This isn't a plea for money. It really isn't. The most generous thing you can give to people, and I said this last week and I'll reiterate this, and we're going to go to a different dimension next week, but the most generous thing you can give to people right now is your time. Amen. You know why? It's irreplaceable. Amen. Once you give it up, that's something you'll never live again. It's done. Bow your heads with me, please. It's a different type of reflection we're going to have today. This is what the Lord has laid on my heart that we should do today. And this may be a generalization to some, but I think it's a truism. Every single one of us, in some way, somehow, feel like we've been shortchanged. Oh, not me, Pastor. Yeah, you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be trying so hard to get the attention or to get some resolution or to feel better about things going on in your life. As I pray today, I want to bring you back to one of the things that I asked you to do at the very beginning of this message. I want you to ask the Lord to remind you to find that person that was in your darkest hour or at the time you thought you couldn't make it, that was there for you. And you just want to return the favor, maybe not to them, but to someone else, because God wants you to remind you that someone was there for you. But for now, I need to get rid of that toxic poison in your spirit that says that you've been shortchanged, because I'm going to tell you right now, you haven't. And you're not a dead dog. God sees you. He remembers you. And he's coming to you right now. I want to pray this prayer over you. And if you need to respond to the Lord today when we sing this last song, the last song is Amazing Grace. I want to give you a chance to come down and spend some time with some of our altar counselors, and they'll help you kind of process some things that perhaps you're maybe struggling with. But would you receive this prayer? Jesus, if there ever was a person that was shortchanged, it was you. They didn't acknowledge you for who you were. There's some people that followed you for the fishes and the loaves. There are people that only wanted their needs met, and they just went back to do the things they were doing before. And Lord, I cannot help but think there's some of those people here today that once we got what we wanted, we just kind of just abandoned the whole idea of following hard after you. God, let your love, let your joy, let your peace heal us today from any malady that keep us from being totally following you. While your heads are bowed and while your eyes are closed, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and telling you today, this is a time for you to kind of acknowledge God's goodness, his greatness in your life, and for you to have an opportunity to respond to him and say, God, I am truly grateful, and I repent of any attitude or any way of thinking that would say I've been shortchanged, and I want to give myself surrender totally 100% to you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, this is a great time to do it, because he's available. He's here today to work in your life. Everybody stand to your feet as we sing Amazing Grace. And if you need to come, I invite you to come to this altar without prompting you. You just step out and there'll be someone to meet you to pray with you. Just step out now in Jesus' name. Amazing Grace, amazing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.